about the third verse in Revelation 16th chapter. Well, how many of you have heard of the Battle of Armageddon?
Yeah, I guess.
They make movies about that, don't they? Well, that's just about where we are. Just about in the Battle of Armageddon. We're laying all the groundwork, and if you listen to the news and listen to the television, you think that that's exactly where we are also. I'm going to tell you right now, the world is at war. We have a world war going on. It hasn't been declared yet, but we've just about got a world war going right now. All of the players in the Battle of Armageddon are pretty much set up. And as we study the book of Revelation, it's so real now because of the world events that are taking place. Let's start back with 16 and verse 1 and start off there. Brother Lee, are you opened up there for that one? Good to see you.
And I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth.
Okay, go. Yeah, go ahead.
So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and the foul and the loathsome sore some came upon the men who had the mark of the beast of those who worshipped his image.
All right, let us go back in history. Okay? Now, this happened. You know, y'all study history. That's why we're going to do the church history class on Sunday night. History is good for us. We go up here to this chart, and we saw how God dealt with man in the garden, the curse. The flood came upon the earth, and then we had human government established, and then we have in the days of Peleg, what happened, Brother Bill?
The
earth was divided and the languages were confused. All right. Then, after that period of time, God called out a certain individual. Abraham. All right. You can look at all this on this chart. Does this chart help you? I hope it helps get the whole time of the Bible in perspective. All right. Then we have the promise of Abraham. God promised that he would be... His people would be like the sands of the sea and like the stars of heaven. Now, we haven't discussed this a whole lot yet, but I'm going to throw one at you. Some of you know it from years ago. What do the stars of heaven represent? We just studied it just a couple of weeks ago. We didn't get into it really deep, but we'll go back and recap that thing. What do the stars of heaven represent?
Israel.
All right, the promised seed. The coveted people, the stars of heaven. Now, who do the sands of the sea represent? Not really. These are the descendants of Abraham, but those are the non-coveted people. Now, there's a lot of them out there. So we have the stars of heaven, and we have the sands of the sea.
Well, God said your children will be like the sea. He promised that to Abraham.
Mm-hmm. He promised that to Abraham.
Therefore, that would include us as a church.
Well,
right. Well,
yeah. Yeah, but let's look at it. When you become a saint, what are you?
Believer.
No, when you get saint, hagios.
Born of heaven.
Huh?
Born of heaven.
Born of heaven, not of earth.
Not of
earth. Where's the stars?
Heaven.
All right, let's figure this out. We're just throwing something a little new at you. Some of you heard this over before. But now the stars of heaven represent Israel and all of the believers. Those are the ones. The sands of the sea. Where is the sands of the sea? Where is it?
On earth.
On earth. All right. When you're born of God, you're not of earth. That's what literally saint means, not of earth. Okay. So we have the sands of the sea, and we got the sands and the stars at war today. That's exactly what we got. Now, God promised Ishmael that he'd have there would be a great nation out of his people, wouldn't it? Many, many people. All right. Many, many people. Now, let's go on. Now, down when we... Why did Israel end up in Egypt? Why did Israel end up in Egypt? There was a reason for it. A man sinned, and God said, because you did this, this is what's going to happen to your descendants. What was it? What?
You're going to slavery.
Come on, what happened?
I'm making you think now.
Okay. Abraham went down to Egypt because he didn't trust God. God sent him in the promised land. He went down to Egypt. He didn't trust God. He went down there and he went down and he told him, because you have done this, your children are going to be in bondage for 400 years because you've done this. But they're going to come out with many, many people.
What's that clicking noise?
There's girls over there. All right. You're throwing me a curve. I think it's this machine having a fit over here. I keep listening to that and I kept good to hear it. Where was I? So they went down for 400 years. Now God told Abraham they were gonna come out of there with what? With riches. Okay? He told them all this was going to happen beforehand. This is what we call prophecy. What does prophecy mean?
Foretelling.
That means to say something before it happens. That's what prophecy is. So we have the Egyptian bondage. So when God, he picked out a man, his name was Moses. What does Moses mean? To draw out. That's what Moses means, to draw out. And just think about this for a minute. Here we have a little boy. Now, and you hear how faithful that Moses' family were. I want you to look at it in reality now, okay? Sometimes you have to really look at things. Now, all the Hebrew children, boys that were born in Egypt at that time, what did the Pharaoh say to do with them?
Kill them.
Kill them. How were they supposed to kill them? Huh?
Throw them in the river.
The river Nile. What inhabits the river Nile? Crocodiles and big fish. If you've ever been out in the ocean, you have things out there that eat other things. It is very vicious out there. One thing eats something else all the time. Well, in the Nile River, we have the same thing. So they were supposed to take the baby boys and throw them in the Nile River, expose them. Now, Moses' family, they saved him for a period of time, didn't they? When it came down to the nitty gritty, what did they do with Moses?
They put him in the river.
They put him in a little thing to protect him for a while. But what was going to happen to him if he just went on down the Nile River? Some old crocodile would come up here and say, "Well, there's a nice lure," you know, like that, and there it goes. But God protected him. And Pharaoh's daughter. God dealt with Pharaoh's daughter. Does God deal with lost people? He sure does. God deals with lost people. He deals with their hearts. I had a man one time, not of the same religion as I am, but when I was going to seminary, I was in really bad shape down there. I mean, I didn't even have a car hardly to get back and forth in my car. I'd have to put an engine heater on it before it even started. The rings were so worn out and everything. And he saw me in, and I'd go in his restaurant down there. He was my great friend. He said, "Jim," he said, "you go down and pick you out a brand new car. I'll buy you one." He said, "Go find you a new car. I'll buy it. Just go anywhere you want to." Being the uneducated fool that I was that time, no, forget it. I'll take care of it. The Lord will take care of it. Well, the Lord was taking care of it. Kind of reminds me of that old boy that was in the flood back east, and he was stranded on the housetop, and a helicopter came by and said, "Jump up here and come up. We're here to save you." He said, "No, forget it. The Lord will take care of it." Guy came by in a boat and said, "Come on." "No, forget it. The Lord will take care of it." He went on and on like this. Finally, he drowned it. And he got up to heaven. He says, "Lord, I expected you to take me." He said, "Man, I sent a helicopter. I sent a boat. How much do you want?" Didn't work. Well, God deals with lost people sometimes. Well, Pharaoh's daughter was a lost woman. But she had compassion on this child. And she named him Moses to draw out because he drew him out of the river. Isn't that beautiful? Now, what was Moses' destiny?
Take his people
to draw Israel out of Egypt. Okay. Now, when he did that, in the plagues of Egypt, we have a foreshadow of the plagues in the days of the book of Revelation. And here they are again. In Exodus, the 7th chapter, verses 20 and 21, we see this, and you just read on down through there, and you'll see these plagues as they happened before. Now, there was a man, and I repeated this last week. One historian says, if mankind will not read history, they are fools and bound to repeat it. Everything that's happening in the world today, we have examples that historically that have happened economically and politically all over the world. Did you know that? It's happened in history. I could go into a million examples here. Currency, inflation, whatever. This all happens. Did you know that the Roman Empire, they had a what we call a Federal Reserve system at one time. They had real gold and real silver. All their coins were really gold and really silver. And then they decided they wanted to manipulate the economy, so they printed gold-plated and silver-plated. Their coins that were $5 were just made out of brass instead of gold. And the economy got so bad that they turned it around and went back to this gold and silver standard. And it held the economy up for a while. How many of you knew that? Thank you, brother. And here we have it repeated again in America. Repeated in America. There was one president who was going to turn it around and go back to the silver standard. He got killed. John Kennedy. All right. The system didn't want that. Let's go on. The angel went out and poured his bowl of wrath to the earth and became a loathsome and malignant sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. Now, when the plagues came upon Egypt, was God's people touched with? No. If they obeyed. They didn't bother them. And every time it says, oh, and Egypt was sorely vexed with this, but the children of Israel were not. And right there. Number three. Let's go to Revelation 16, verse 3. Are you there, Marjorie? Revelation 16 and 3.
The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man. Every living thing in the sea.
Are you reading from New American Standard? Sounds just like it. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And the second angel poured out his bowl, the bowl of wrath, into the sea. Now, what does the sea do for the earth? It cleans the earth. You go out there in the sea and it's pretty mucky looking water sometimes, and it's really salty. You can't hardly drink it or anything. I mean, you drink very much of it, you're going to get sick. But it cleanses this earth. It cleans the earth. But now when you have the air cleaner and we have the filter system, when the filter system is plugged up, what happens? Real problems, don't you? All right. Poured out his wrath upon the sea, the Lasse. And it became blood like that of a dead man. What kind of a blood does a dead man have? It's coagulated. It becomes thick. It doesn't flow anymore. It has death in it. And the sea will have death in it. And every living life, is what it says, every living life in the sea died. Everything died.
In your opinion, was that real blood or was it just something that looked like blood?
Well, it said it came like blood. Brother Bill.
By pleasure. I read a book by pleasure. He talks about a thing called the red tie.
Yeah, well, right now over there, if you go over to Avila Beach, when I was over there the other day, they had a red tie.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got something, I can't remember what it was, but it's possible. But what it would do, it would spread at a fantastic rate during the whole season.
Yeah, it turns it red. Well, this is like, it says like dead man's blood, like blood. It'll be congealed. It won't flow. And everything in it will die. What happened when the Nile River turned to blood and everything in it died?
Stench.
And the stench and death, what does it produce?
Disease.
What?
Disease
and a plague. Famine. Not only famine. A lot of people eat from the sea, don't they? There are cultures in the world. Yes. Yeah.
Somebody said that salt water in the sea is very close to what blood is.
Yeah. That's what they say. Well, everything in the sea dies. So now we have death. And we're going to have famine because there's not enough food. And we'll also have the disease. Number four, Dr. Messick, are you there? You right there, brother? Yeah. Revelation 16 and verse 4.
And the angel and the third angel pour his bowl on rivers and springs. The waters turn to blood. I heard the angel of the waters say, righteous you are, and your judgments are righteous. The is, the was, the holy. He poured out the blood of saints and prophets. So you've given them blood to drink. They've got to them.
Thank you. Let's go back and look at that now. The third angel poured out his bowl into the Pigay, the springs of water. Now, what replenishes the ocean? Springs. We have transpiration, which causes clouds. Here, when it was so hot, still hot, but when it was tremendously 110 plus degrees here in Bakersfield, what happened every night?
Clouds
would form from transpiration, and then we'd have rains, and this is how tornadoes would get started too. I wonder if we didn't have a tornado out there toward those mountains where I live, out toward the Ridge Route. I mean, it gets rough out there. And the winds, that one day the winds in Arvin were going 80 and 90 miles an hour. You remember that day, brother?
I was there, but when I left Arvin, and a few minutes later they came.
Yeah, I mean, blowing so hard. But what happens is the water here goes up into the clouds, and then there are rains. Well, the rains, then they flow where? Where does all water flow? To the sea. So now we have the sea that's polluted, and so we can say, well, we still have fresh water. No, we aren't. Because now the fresh water is going to be destroyed. What do people do when they don't have any water? You know, have you ever thought about my wife the other day? We were over at the coast, and we got away from here the last few weeks, going over there and going fishing and getting out of the heat a couple of days at a time. We take those real short vacations. Leave on Sunday evening and come back Tuesday so I can teach my class. Anyway, we went over there and she said, you know, I was just thinking about something. She really thinks. She's got a good little thinker. And she said, you know something? God didn't make hell ice. He made hell fire. He said, if a person gets cold, you just kind of go to sleep. But she said, if you, in hell, you just suffer and suffer and suffer, and you're thirsty and all this kind of stuff. And even in the hot places, being burned up or exposed to heat is a horrible death. She said, if you get out in the cold, you just pretty soon just go to sleep. She said, yeah, that's why God made hell fire instead of hell ice. Well, these people are going to be suffering now. It's a type of something that's going to happen. You know, we preach hellfire and damnation in God's churches. Really, we do. Because the Bible talks more about hell than it does about heaven, doesn't it? But these things should point these things to God, shouldn't they? Here's God's wrath on the earth. So I had better, if I don't want to see this forever now, if I don't want to be tormented like this forever, then I need to do what? Repent and call upon God to save me. But this isn't what happens here. When God dealt with Pharaoh in Egypt, boy, that was a type of what's going to happen. Just read Exodus, okay? Read it and compare it to the book of Revelation. When he went down and when God sent Moses back into Egypt, he sent him a spokesman. That spokesman was his brother Aaron. And when they went before Pharaoh, it says that every time in the beginning that Pharaoh did what? When he saw the miracles and everything, what did Pharaoh do? He hardened his heart. All right, middle voice, basically. All right, he hardened his own heart. But at the end, what happened? God hardened his heart. That. You know what? This was prophecy. God told Moses that he was going to do this before it ever happened. He said, He will come, he will harden his heart, and then I will harden his heart. You know what? You can only reject the gospel so many times, and then it's too late. You know that? You ever heard of the point of no return? Well, these people have reached the point of no return. You know what? Nearly every nation in the world is religious somehow, isn't it? They've got a religion. They believe in some sort of deity. But God is going to absolutely prove who He is in this book of Revelation here in the end times. He's going to prove who He is. Not just some deity, but He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Everybody's got an Elohim, don't they, Brother Lee? Remember the book you read about Elohim? What's the difference between Elohim and Jehovah? Elohim's just the creator. Jehovah is our Redeemer. He's a Redeemer. The one who shall become. All right. And here in this last verse that Brother Mensick read, it says, I heard the angel saying, righteous you are who was, who, literally in Greek it says, who kept on being the eternal one. This is the word for the eternal God. God is eternal, isn't He? All right. Now, what it's describing here, the one who was, the one who became, Jehovah, title means, Jehovah means what? The one who shall become. Where is the Jehovah title fulfilled in the New Testament? What verse?
John 1 and 14.
All right, John 1:14. And the Word, the Jehovah, flesh He became, and He dwelt among us. You that kept on being, that existed in time and existed in eternity, the Eternal One, that's what it means there. The Holy One. The Holy One. Is God holy? Yes, He is. Why do you think hell is necessary?
There has to be a punishment.
There has to be a separation from that which is not holy, from that which is holy. Hell is a necessity. Hell is file 13. What do you do with your garbage? If you left your garbage in your house all the time, I know some people do this. I've seen some things. But if you didn't take the garbage out, the house would be a garbage pit, and there you would have a mess, wouldn't you? So you have to take out the garbage. You have to separate that which is clean from unclean. How would you like somebody to in a restaurant to go on there and just drop your steak on the floor and pick it right up and put it right back on there? No, you don't want that kind of treatment, do you? Clean has to be separated from the unclean. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if there wasn't a hell. Couldn't be. For we go down to our court system sometimes and we look for what?
Justice.
I got news for you people. Not only in Bakersfield, but in many cities in this country, justice is for those that can buy it. That can afford it. That's it. You're not going to get justice. Don't go down there expecting justice. I remember one of our church members, she was sick and the insurance wanted to cut her off from treatment. And she went down there and Brother Roger told her, he went down there to the court with her and he told her, he said, don't expect justice here. Don't expect God to make these people do this for you. Because God doesn't run this place. That's pretty hard to say because you pray for justice, don't you? The only time you're really going to get justice is when the judge is here. The judge. All right, the judge. Well, you know what? They cut her off. And it was wrong. They condemned her to death. The Holy One, because you did judge these things. For they poured out the blood of saints. Now, when I teach church history on Sunday night, starting in September, whenever they start the classes, we're going to talk about church history. We're going to talk about the Lord's churches, and we're going to talk about the church that became Catholicism and how it evolved into what it is today and what it was in the Dark Ages. What brought on the Dark Ages?
The church
taking the Bible away from people. Catholicism took the Bible out. Now, there were always true Christians all during that period of time. The Lord said that Satan could not wrestle down His church, Matthew 16:18. He said in Matthew 28:20 that He says, I'll be with you until the end of the age. And the Lord is going to be with His churches all the way through the church age until He takes them up. And they would always exist through here. But they would have
a lot of controversy. They would have a lot of persecution.
Now, the great harlot in Revelation, in final reality, will be that great Catholic Church again. What does the word Catholic mean?
Universal.
All right. It'll be that great Catholic Church again, and she will be in control of all the religious world because she will be the church and state again. All right? The church and the state were one during the Dark Ages. When America was founded, they founded it on separation of church and state. When the colonies were first formed, every state had a state church. Did you know that? Every state had a state church, and you had to belong to that church or you were persecuted. That's why we have the amendments to the Constitution. They had to amend it for freedom of religion. All right? They poured out the blood of saints and of prophets, and you've given them blood today because they deserved it. They earned it. What is the law in the book of, all the way through the Bible, was the law of sowing and what? Reaping. You reap what you sow. That's what it says. And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, the Almighty, the true and the righteous one, righteous are your judgments." All right. Now, I heard those around the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord God." Who does this tell it is? O Lord God. Who is this O Lord God? In Hebrew, it's Jehovah Elohim, isn't it? Jehovah Elohim. This is the God, the Creator and the Redeemer that created the heavens and the earth and that also that redeemed them back to Himself. And now He's in the process of bringing them back under His control. You know, in the world today, this world is called what? This age is called the what?
Church age.
The church age that we live in. Now, let me explain this too. We live in the church age. But who does God call the God of this age? The prince and the power of the air in the book of Revelation, the sixth chapter. I'm not saying Revelation, that's Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Now, in every period of time, all the way through history, God has that administrator of His kingdom. The administrators of God's kingdom on earth today are His churches. But the political forces, the world atmosphere that we live in today, who is controlling them? Satan. What about all the storms and all the catastrophes that happen on this earth? Well, you go back and you study in your Bible. We studied one class on angels and spirits, didn't we? Behind every war, there are angelic forces, aren't there? It was so wonderful. Brother Mensah gave me a little tape on the Six-Day War. And what happened during that time. They're still talking about that. People on the opposite side of Israel were seeing things that weren't there, but they were there. They saw armies that were formed against them, and nobody was there except maybe one man. Remember what happened with Gideon? Look in the Old Testament. You know what? God still is doing that with His nation Israel today. The only nation that God has ever had is Israel. That's the only nation that God ever formed and called out and protected down through the age. That's it. And you know what? The nation of Israel, God is going... The whole reason for the tribulation period is why? To bring Israel back to God. That's the reason for it. He's going to cleanse them. He's going to convert them with a board. And He's going to use the board of Satan to do it. Satan's going to try to beat them up. And God's going to step in there and save them. And then they'll look at Him and say, "Look, where did you get those scars in your hands and your feet and your side?" He said, "In the house of my friends." And what will they do? They will mourn like for an only begotten son. And they'll cry and they'll weep. And you know, during the end of the tribulation period, who's going to be preaching the gospel on the earth? The Lord's churches are already gone. They're not doing it right now. If church age, the churches are supposed to preach the gospel. We have the administration. But during that period of time, we have different. We have angels flying through heaven. We have two witnesses to stand up, and don't ask me who the two witnesses are because I don't know who they are. We've studied that already. And then we have Israel toward the end of that, preaching the gospel. And it says millions of people are going to be saved. Millions of people are going to be saved. Let's go on a little bit further. Where did we end up? End up 7?
Yeah.
All right, number 8. Number 8. Who wants to do that? Number 8. Who's there? Are you there, Brother Richard?
Yeah.
Did you bring your horn with you today?
No.
You didn't do that. All right.
You do it next week.
All right. We're going to get you and get Marjorie up here and get you to sing us a song at the end of the class and play a song, okay? All right. Go ahead, Brother Richard. 8.
Okay. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire.
Have you witnessed a little bit about this?
Maybe that's global warming.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, this is going to be global warming right here. I guarantee you we're already in it. It's already happening. But it's going to be real warm right here. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun. Now, the sun is life, isn't it? Well, is the sun life? What do you have without the sun? God put this earth where we live, this planet where we live, in exactly the right place. It is supposed to be cool enough at night and warm enough at daytime. If you don't have sun, you don't have vegetation. You don't have life. Brother Bill, you went up in the North Country. They didn't have enough sun up there, did they?
They didn't have enough sun.
He wasn't very happy with that northern hemisphere up there. It's just too much for him. It's only good for Scandinavians and Danish people that come from Europe and say place up. There's a lot of them up there, too. They went and settled up there because it was like where they came from in Europe. A lot of people aren't happy up there in that dark country where it's dark. Huh? All right, let's go on a little further. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And really, if you look through these bowls, what's happening is there is misplaced anger.
Yes.
All right? And we're seeing the start of that. If you look what happened today in Israel, all right? Eventually, Hezbollah creates this village with all these children in. Blew off some rockets from them. Israel wiped out these children. Everybody's mad at Israel instead of at Hezbollah.
Yeah.
There's a culture in this Revelation 16 of misplaced.
Yes. Instead of repenting, what are they doing?
They're
getting mad. Yeah.
And we see that today as a culture.
Yeah. That's what happened in Egypt. Pharaoh got mad. What did Pharaoh end up doing? Chasing Israel down to the
Red Sea.
What ended up happening to Pharaoh's army and everything down there?
God
finally zapped it. All right, there we have it again. Because they were mad. Mad. All right. Misplaced.
God baptized them.
Yeah, God did. He baptized them. Once and for all, he left them under, didn't he? They shouldn't have so many clothes on. All that armor and things. It held them down a little bit too long, didn't it? Yes.
Did Pharaoh go in the Red Sea also?
I don't know.
Never,
you know, there's things that say that he did. And I think history, when Pharaoh went into the Red Sea, when the Bible talks about it, he's talking about his army. Where did Pharaoh sit all the time? Back up on the hill looking down at his army. But his army was considered him. All right? When you wiped out his army, you wiped out Pharaoh. All right? Because that was his power. You know what? Israel, Egypt doesn't have any record of that much at all, except a little few. Historically, they'll say they were a bunch of thieves, and we kicked them out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we kicked them out and everything else, and they were full of disease and all this kind of stuff, so we kicked them out of the land. That's about all you're going to hear from Egypt about Israel.
They did take a lot of gold and silver out of Egypt.
Yeah, they did take a lot of gold and silver out because God told Abraham they would. God has blessed the Jewish people all the way through history. Everybody gripes about people being a Jew, Jewing you down, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? God blessed them that way. That was one of the blessings that He gave them, wasn't it? That they could make money. How has Israel got the land back? They bought it with money. Why do you think that they have the money? Because God blesses them whatever they do.
They know how to make it.
That's right. And they bought it back. Just think about that. They bought their land back. They bought it with money and they bought it with blood. I remember when Zola Levitt was here. And he told them, and they were talking about giving the boundaries back, and he said, it's a bad idea. He said, you give the Gaza Strip back, you give all these areas, these what we call buffer zones back, what are you going to have when you do that? War. You got the enemy right on the doorstep then. Before, you can keep them away. What happened? It's exactly what he said was going to happen. And he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to zap them. We're going to bomb them. We're going to blow them up. He said, if it gets real bad, we'll zap them with a nuclear bomb. Well, watch out for that, because I think that's coming too. All right. You know what? We pray for Israel. Zola always prayed for the peace of Israel. The only peace Israel is going to have is when God takes it back and He straightens it out. They're not going to have peace today. But you know what? You don't really have to pray for Israel because God's with them anyway. He has to be with Israel because it's by His name, by His own honor that He's with Israel. He said He would be. They were verse number 9. Here we have the fire. People are getting madder and madder and madder. All right. Verse 9, Brother Mystic, you're there. Verse number 9. Read that one for me.
The fifth angel poured his bowl on the throne of the beast. His kingdom fell into
a... No, 9. Oh, you don't have any 9? Who's got 9? This is real. This is... Yeah, they blasphemed the gods. All right. And the men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God. When God brought judgment upon them, instead of repenting, what did they do? They fought Him. That's a fool. These are fools, but they're fighting God now.
I thought it's interesting. They weren't exactly. They recognized that God existed.
Well, He's there. He's fighting them. Yeah. They're fighting God. These people are not atheists. They're not atheists because we have God fighting directly with these people. And we have angelic forces doing this. We know that God is doing this. Okay? And there's no doubt during the tribulation period there aren't going to be atheists. But we have God fighters and God haters. Okay?
I don't think there's really truly atheists today.
No, they say they are.
They say they are, but they worship something.
That's a strong religion, atheism, isn't it? Yep. You have to believe in something that just isn't there. All right. But Brother Messi, did you find that 9 there? The blasting the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent as to give Him glory. Verse number 10. That's where you're going.
The fifth angel poured his bowl on the throne of the beast. His kingdom fell into a sudden eclipse, mad with pain. Men and women bit through their tongues, cursed God of heaven for the torment sore, and refused to repent.